Hey, good morning, everyone. We are on day 26, which is entitled The Purpose of Rosh Hashanah. Question I get almost every year when people actually pay attention to the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, to the liturgy, what we're saying in the Siddur, in the Machzor, really. The question is always the same, Rabbi, where is the forgiveness? Why is the idea of forgiveness virtually absent from the prayers that we say on Rosh Hashanah? There are a couple of prayers of the Day of Judgment and the idea that we're being evaluated by God. But the liturgy and the prayers and the tefillot that we say in Rosh Hashanah really revolve around very basic Jewish concepts, like our belief that there's a God and that God is our King and Sovereign of the universe. So why do the Rosh Hashanah prayers omit any real mention of forgiveness? We have that, you know, we just began saying the Slichot. We had an entry about the Slichot, prayers of forgiveness. A lot of asking for forgiveness in the Slichot, and we have the Vidui, which is the confessional, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, where we admit where we went wrong, we ask Hashem forgiveness. That feels very high holiday, right? And yet on Rosh Hashanah, we don't have that. We don't have any of those begging for forgiveness. We do that during Slichot, and then we have to wait all the way till Yom Kippur. But nothing in the Rosh Hashanah prayer seems to indicate that. And the answer is because first things first. You have to first acknowledge, we have to first accept certain basic premises. And once we have those premises clear in our mind, then we can move on to asking Hashem forgiveness. And that is ultimately what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. Who is God? Who are we? Who are we in relation to Hashem? And it doesn't make sense to plead for forgiveness before we understand the nature of our relationship with God. And that's precisely why the central themes of the Rosh Hashanah prayers, and we have this in the Musaf silent devotion and in the repetition, which is the longest, actually, Shemona Esrei, the longest silent devotion all year round is on Rosh Hashanah. And it's got three themes. These are really the themes of Rosh Hashanah: Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios means kingship, Zichronos means remembered sins, being remembered, and Shofros referring to the trumpet blasts. And these three themes, not forgiveness, not atonement, really make up the Amidah, the silent devotion, the main prayer in the Musaf service for Rosh Hashanah. Just very briefly, Malchios is all about crowning God as king. In this section, we basically acknowledge God as king over the universe, and we are his loyal subjects. The middle section, which means Zichronos, remembrances, is acknowledging the fact that God remembers everything. Now, of course, we know God, you know, is a king, and we know he remembers, but we have to get these ideas into our minds. And the idea of being remembered can sometimes freak us out, but, you know, because we're being evaluated and remembered for the good or the not so good that we've done. But it demonstrates fundamentally that God cares. Because if he didn't remember, right, you don't remember your kids' birthdays, you don't remember this, that, remember that. It shows that there's a lack of caring. When a parent disciplines a child and provides some criticism, the parent is ultimately showing their love and affection. Right? The worst thing a parent can do is not to remember or to evaluate. The worst thing a parent can do is to neglect. That's when a child then feels unloved. So being remembered on this day by the king that we believe, you know, is the sovereign of the universe, that is another fundamental idea that we want to internalize on this day. And finally, the third and final theme on Rosh Hashanah is called Shofrot, or trumpet blasts. The trumpet blasts, that whole section is recalling the shofar that was sounded when? At the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And that's a tradition that when the Torah was given to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, there was a shofar sounded. And this represents the idea that God is not just a king, and God is not just a king who remembers and evaluates, right? But also a king who gives us a path to live in this world. That's the Torah. When we hear the shofar blasts, and in that last section, it's really a reflection on God didn't just create me to survive, to exist. He created me to live in a particular kind of way. Because, you know, you can have a regular king who can be very indifferent to the welfare of his subjects. The shofar section is really teaching us that God wants to be intimately involved in our lives. And that's why he gave us the Torah, and the shofar sort of triggers that off. So our goal in Rosh Hashanah is to really get down the basics of our Jewish attitude, our Jewish outlook to Hashem, that there's a God who is the sovereign, that God is paying attention to our lives, and wants us to follow a certain kind of path in our lives. And once we've internalized these three fundamental concepts, that's Rosh Hashanah. Now you'll say, really? I need to spend 2 days in synagogue internalizing these ideas. Well, if you think about the next thing we're going to be doing on Yom Kippur and what we do on Slichot every day, which is asking Hashem where we went wrong and how we can do better and confessing our sins and seeing where we can improve in the coming year, right? Once you internalize those other three basic ideas, that there's a God who cares, evaluates, and puts us on a path, if we really get that into our kishkas, if we really have a mindset of ourselves as loyal subjects to a king who loves and expects something of us, then the next thing will follow very logically and very naturally. How can I do better? How can I be the best version of myself? If we don't establish those basic truths first, and the whole, did I do good, did I not do good, is a joke then. It's only significant because it's part of a bigger system, and that system is acknowledged, internalized on Rosh Hashanah. Have a great day.